It is in my vein.
Yes.
And Paul would say, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel of Christ. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. It's good to have those of you that are visiting with us this morning. I want you to know that you are our honored guests. And when I say honored guests, it's my job, my responsibility, yes, as a child of God and as a gospel preacher, yes, to tell you what God requires, not only of you, but of each and every one of us. No accident that they have invited you. They have caused you to come because you need to hear words whereby, yes, you can be saved. Amen. And I don't know about you, the more and more I open up the Word of God, the more I understand what God requires of me in my everyday life. He requires me to live up to what I have voluntarily obeyed.
Yes.
Amen. He requires me to carry the gospel to the lost world and to live a life that men and women are drawn to the cross. This morning in Luke chapter 12, we're going to talk about an individual here. This individual, and the title of the lesson before I go any further, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up. I'm going to show you an individual here that got caught up with the cares of the world. Anybody been down that street?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if you ain't careful, guess what? You'll go right back down. But this individual here gets caught up, just like you and I from time to time, that if we take our eyes off of the cross, we will get so caught up with the cares of this world, we'll get so caught up with everything that's going on, that we will not even recognize and understand what God requires of each and every one of us. This man here is going to show us, don't get caught up. Don't allow the cares of this world to supersede why we're really here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse number 13. The wisest man on the face of the earth had these words to say in reference to man. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You thought you were here because you look good? Huh? You thought because you deserve to be here, God has allowed us to be on this time side of life? No, you're here because God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. And he wants us to realize and recognize some things, that your existence on this time side of life had nothing to do with you. Amen. And I'm learning that. I'm learning that my existence on this time side of life has but one purpose, and that is to proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And that he's risen, and that you and I, look at what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 16, the Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him,
amen,
for him.
Amen.
So you're created not because you deserve to be. You were created because God wanted us to praise him.
Amen.
And you know what I'm learning? That when you decide not to do that, he said he can get rocks to do it.
Okay.
See, that's how awesome God is.
Amen.
And so this morning, as we look at this man, as he recognized that he's done all he can do on this time side of life, and he gets caught up in the things that he possesses. Amen. Anybody caught up this morning? I want to show you that it's so easy to get caught up with the cares of this world. And you know, we get caught up over three things, don't we? Three things: food, clothes, and shelter. You know, some of us will walk through muddy water, climb the highest mountain for a dollar. Amen. Y'all quiet. This is supposed to help you up to see. But I want you to see that this man here, he got so caught up in what he possessed that God called him a fool. You know, I know the Bible says call no man fool upon the earth. But if God calls you a fool, what are you? You got to be a fool. And I want to show you this morning that he didn't have to get so caught up. But that's what happens when the cares of this world supersede everything else.
You know, most of the time when we have trials and tribulations, we focus more on the trial and the tribulations than really stopping and ask God and saying to the Lord, just thank you that I'm able to go through the trials and tribulations. Just thank you that I'm between two twilights.
That's right.
Because I'm learning, no matter what state I'm in, I got to learn how to be content.
Yes, sir.
And give him the glory that's due him. Matthew chapter 11 and round about verse number 28. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke
is easy.
For my yoke
is easy.
Oh, help me out this morning. My yoke
is easy.
See, is easy. That's right. And you know, somewhere down the line, as Christians, this ought not to be such a chore just to come here.
Amen.
And when you come in, you ought to be smiling.
Amen.
Like somebody done painted a smile on your face.
Amen.
Amen. You know why? Because we serve an awesome God.
Amen.
We serve a God that owns the heel of 1,000 cattle.
Yes,
and you know what God said? If I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. Why? The world is mine and the fullness thereof. And if the world belongs to him and I belong to him, what should I have to worry about? Nothing. Well, look, I got to help out here this morning. Amen. Amen. Somewhere down the line, this ought to motivate us to a higher plateau. We live in a world that has not a clue which way it's headed. And half of us maybe sitting here don't even have a clue. I know where I'm headed. One day he's going to close these old eyes. One day he's going to call me from labor to the other side. And I want to be just like the Apostle Paul. I know that when this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. That's what motivates me. That's what drives me, is to know that I have a place prepared for me if I prepare myself to go there.
Yes,
amen. And so this morning I want to look at this rich man that had everything going for him. And you know, that's something about it. You don't have to have all the money in the world to be rich.
Yeah.
Anybody healthy in here?
Amen.
You're rich.
Amen.
Got sickness? You're rich.
Amen.
Because you need to understand it's not about the physical, but it's about a position that you have in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Peter, Paul says, if any man be in Christ,
he's a new creation.
No creature.
Amen.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yes.
The Bible says Jesus became poor that we might be rich.
Yes.
And what is he talking about? My richness is not measured in the abundancy of what I have, but it's measured in what I know that transpired on Calvary Mountain.
Yes.
John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says the thief has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'm learning that that abundant life that Jesus has to offer is centered in his son. That's why John, as he's on exile on the island of Patmos, mm-hmm. as he writes to the seven churches in the Asia Minor area, in Revelation chapter 21 and round about verse number 4, John says, and God shall wipe away
every tear
from their eye. Boy, I don't know about you. I'm tired of crying.
Amen.
I'm tired of pain. I'm tired of suffering. Now, Lord, I... That's right. I've learned you got to be careful what you say.
Amen.
But he understands where my heart is.
Yes,
how long do I have to mourn for God's people? Mm-hmm. How long and how many lessons will it take before you decide to get on board and get motivated and enthused for the Lord?
Yes.
Y'all quiet. I know this is some hard stuff here. How long and how many lessons will it take before you decide to surrender your will to the will of God? Church, I stopped by this morning to remind both saints and those that are outside of the body, don't get caught up in this world. Because this world will fool you. You can have grits in the pantry or a loaf of bread under both arms and get so caught up that you think you got everything that's necessary. I'm going to show you this individual. Luke chapter 12
and round about verse number 16. The Bible says, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, and every time I read this, it reminds me of Brother Dalton. Yeah. We do too much thinking.
Too much.
Sometimes you got everything going for you and you still think about some more. Mm-hmm. He got caught up. And I want to remind us, church, don't get caught up. Don't allow the cares of this world to dictate to you your level of spirituality. Don't allow the cares of this world to dictate to you and make you think that you're saved when you are probably lost and just don't know it. Church, this man here is caught up. And he's so caught up that he's starting to talk to himself. I wish I had time. I mean, y'all talk to yourself.
Well, I do. I
had some good, intelligent conversations with myself. I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm learning that as I talk to myself, I need to be talking about what God wants me to do. Not talking about how I'm going to better myself for myself and forget about everything else. The Bible says he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. And I'm reminded, James says, you ought to say, if God will.
That's right.
He says, this is what I'll do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And then I will bestow all of my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many, many, many years. 401.
Right.
Don't get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
This guy here says, I got plenty of goods stored up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
But God's going to get him in verse 20.
Oh, somebody's ahead of me, but that's okay. But it's interesting, how comfortable are we
as God's people? We eat, we drink, and we don't give God half the credit that's due.
That's right.
You know, you ever sit down to lunch and you're so busy, so hungry, that you even forget to thank him?
Yeah.
Huh? I'm guilty. You don't have to tell me. I know. Sometimes you get so caught up in the moment to where your blood sugar's low. And you don't even give time to thank him for what he's provided to you. The Bible says, he said, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Who then shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.
Ouch.
Don't get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
This man had laid up for himself many goods for many years.
Yes.
He was so caught up in what he had, and he would probably be like most of us. Wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch. That's just how caught up he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was so caught up in what he owned that he only thought about tearing down and building bigger bonds, not for the glory and the honor of God, not to help someone else, but for himself.
Mercy.
God had to come along and remind him, you's a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Now that your soul is required, who gonna get all your stuff? Ain't that one of the problems that we worry about? You know, you lay up all this stuff all these years. You work like a dog, sun up to sundown. You done put all this money aside. Houses paid for, cars are paid for. You got this big old bank account. And the very one you don't want to have it is the one that's gonna get it. Sound like a fool to me. I didn't call you one. Now don't leave it. The Bible says that he was so caught up. But God reminded him that thou fool, this soul, this day, thou soul is required of thee. If God was to come right now, right at this place, right in the assembly of the body of Christ right now, and say, this day, your soul is required. What would you answer the Lord? Would you say, Lord, I am ready?
Here am I.
Here am I.
That's right.
Or would it be, hold on a second. Huh? What would it be? Because here, God shows a reality of living on this time side of life.
Amen.
And that if you're not careful, you will be so busy trying to make a living that you don't even enjoy what God has blessed you with. You will be so caught up in the cares of this world that you won't even worry about your soul's salvation. And one day it's coming. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. After death comes the judgment. If he was to come right now, what would your answer be to him? Or what would he say to you? Will it be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will it be, depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Church, somewhere down the line in our Christian walk, we got to have some confidence about who we are. And then we got to remind ourselves, it's not the cares of this world that we should be concerned about. It's but when he calls us, will we be able to answer, I am ready for thee. James said in James chapter 4 and round about verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then it vanishes away.
Three points.
The message is yours. Point number one, make sure that your life living for Christ by examining yourself daily. Make sure you're living for him. You know, it's easy to come here on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Wednesday night. It's easy to talk about the game, but are you really in the game? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and round about verse number 5, Paul says, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Prove to your own self, know you not that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. It is important that you examine yourself daily to make sure that you are doing what God requires of each and every one of us. The rich man was so caught up in himself that he forgot that there's a race and that one day he's going to give a reward to those that run the race the right way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 24. Once again, make sure that you're living this Christian race and just not talking it. Paul says, know ye not, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize, so run that you may obtain it. And every man that strive for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Point number two, make sure you're doing God's will and not your will.
Amen.
Amen. I'm learning that it's so easy to get so caught up in the cares of this world that you'll forget about what God has called you to do. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, God has called us to do something. He's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, and he wants to remind us that we stay focused and on track in doing his will.
Amen.
He set the example, Luke 19 and verse number 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We must constantly remind ourselves that it's all about doing the will of the Father. And when we do that, guess what? God will take care of everything else.
Amen.
Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? It's so important that as children of God, we constantly remind one another what it's all about. It's all about making our calling and election sure. It's all about living our lives on this time side of life, that when we're called from labor to the other side, we hear those words, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Make sure you're doing the will of the Father, and the way you continue to do the will of the Father is you got to lift up the Son. Amen.
Amen.
Luke, John chapter 12 and verse number 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And the final point, remember the mission. Mm-hmm. Forget about the mess.
That's right.
Remember the mission. What is the mission that you and I have voluntarily said we would do? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17. Our job, our responsibility, our mission is to seek and save the lost, but it's also to remind ourselves who we truly are. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
The rich man got caught up, just like most of the time you and I mm-hmm. get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the cares of the world, sometimes food, clothes, and shelter becomes more important than making sure our soul has a place eternal in the heavens. Sometimes just living on this time side of life will cause you to forget about what life is really all about. It is appointed unto man once to die. And I don't know about you, it's coming.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, it's coming.
Amen.
And when it comes, I just want to hear, well done.
Amen.
The rich man got so caught up that he forgot to even give God some of the glory for him having such a prosperity
Amen.
Of life. He was so caught up in the abundancy of what he possessed that he didn't even have time to just thank the God that gave it to him.
Amen.
How about you and I? Sometimes that's us, isn't it?
Yes.
We're so caught up and we forget that God has blessed us beyond measure. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, boy, you are blessed beyond measure. You're so rich because the Son made himself poor that you might be the righteousness of God. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray I've said something just to encourage your heart.
Amen.
I want to remind you as well as the rest of the body that God is in the business of helping folks out of darkness into a marvelous light.
Amen.
He has tasked me as well as other Christians to remind you, don't allow the world to catch you up, but allow you to obey what God says. This morning you've heard the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4, the gospel is about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, you got to hear the word. You've heard it this morning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe that this is the inspired word of God? John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and in believing you might have eternal life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then the Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5, tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10, 32, 33. Ongoing confession for those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. He says, I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible says we must be buried in water for the remission of our sins. It is in the watery grave that God does a spiritual operation. He washes away all of your sins and he adds you to the body, which is the church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. Baptism is the key. Is the door. Those of you that are visiting want to encourage you. You want a new life? Want a new beginning? Don't tear down the barns, but tear down the sin
Amen.
By getting in the water. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism.
Amen.
not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And for the past few weeks, we've had a few individuals that have put him on. Stella, Chris, Emily, Lisa, Liz, Jason. Some of us have put him on 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But don't get caught up. Continue to live your life that Jesus might shine in our everyday life. Amen. I want to encourage you, both saints and those that are outside of the body, don't be like the rich man. When the day of judgment comes, don't allow God to say, thou fool, but allow him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.